Dr. Flato, in the beginning of this organization, he was already years into the whole concept of using natural healing. It's always been a pleasure all these years to introduce him from our platform. We've introduced him many times, but we take a hiatus periodically, and I call him back again for him to come and talk to this audience. And he has a wealth of knowledge, actually. And we very often specify, we'd like you to talk about this or that at this particular meeting. We've had him come in, and he's an authority on the whole idea of problems with the colon, and I hope he'll touch on that with you too. And he's written many books. He's an author of many books, doing quite well as an author. During the time I've known him, he has changed from being a DC to an MD, and that takes time and effort too. But we've asked him to talk here today about exercise. We try to cover a lot of areas. We had Dr. Wells to talk about the colon and the health of the colon and elimination of waste and all. And so instead of having Dr. Flato repeat that kind of talk today, we wanted to have another dimension. And we don't want you to neglect the concept of doing exercise. Your muscles must be kept limber. Sometimes muscles even collect toxins and store them and don't give them up until you're doing things to help the muscles give up the toxins. So, and Dr. Flato has also written a book and wrote a book a long time ago about the value of exercise with exercises in it that people can follow. I don't know, is that book still available?
No.
The book is not available, but we still had two of them. We don't have them anymore? They're gone. All right. I know I have one on my special shelf where I keep a copy of everything, but you can't have that one.
But I have, the book is being reprinted on the club, Mark Francis, twice the size and being updated.
All right. He said it's being reprinted, and he'll...
Oh,
and he'll give you that information if you want to get the book. But... don't think that we've been frivolous in just presenting someone to do exercise for you. It's serious, and we want you to take it seriously. So with pleasure again, and I get a great deal of pleasure out of these introductions, I want to give you Dr. Edwin Flato. Here, if you want to move...
You know, a generation ago, after a full day's work, a man needed to rest. Today, after a full day's work, a man needs to exercise. And due to the ever-increasing number of so-called labor-saving devices, a whole new branch of medicine has been created. It's called diseases caused by lack of exercise or hypokinetic diseases. For example, the automobile, which was originally hailed as a great blessing to mankind, has become a curse. And the renowned Dr. Hans Krauss, writing in Modern Medicine, he said, expectancy of hypokinetic diseases in the United States is probably about five times as great as in other countries. And the study, treatment, and prevention of physical inactivity as an important factor in disease are important for our national welfare. There are 650 muscles in your body. They interact with over 200 bones, and they're responsible for every single movement. Every one of the 85 trillion cells in your anatomy goes through a process of metabolism. That is, it takes in nutrients and excretes waste material. If a part of your body does not fully materialize, metabolize, it will not be ingesting adequate oxygen, nor it will be able to adequately excrete all the waste material that is a residue of your metabolic processes. Acute conditions require rest. chronic conditions require exercising the parts involved. Lack of exercise results in muscular weakness, and your heart and lungs develop a lower ability to take in oxygen and excrete carbon dioxide. This also results in a lowered ability to absorb nutritional requisites from your bloodstream. Exercise reduces blood viscosity. It thins your blood, allowing for easier passage of blood through narrowed arteries and their branches. Exercise also improves circulation in partially blocked arteries and can reroute your blood, opening new channels around the site of any obstruction. It's sort of like a natural bypass. Exercise that causes your heart to beat faster temporarily also strengthens your heart muscle. A strong heart muscle pumps more blood with each beat, which means it does its work more efficiently, resulting in a lowered pulse rate in people who exercise. Exercise can lower your blood pressure, improve your blood lipid profile, control body weight, maintain bone density in the elderly. It prevents osteoporosis. Treat musculoskeletal disorders, lower hypertension, and help overcome depression. Proper exercise can make you feel like a new person. You'll be less irritable. Dr. Hans Selye, who experimented with rats to test the effects of stress on the body, found that 10 sedentary rats were unable to cope with his stress exposure and died. His controlled 10 rats, who were conditioned by regular exercise, were healthy and thriving after a month, in spite of being exposed to identical stress. Dr. Selye, among many others, has become a leading exponent of exercises to control stress. Proper exercise is essential for good health and prevention of disease as proper diet, fresh air, and sunshine. Exercise is an indispensable part of almost every recovery program, as well as necessary in preventing many diseases. Exercise should not only be part of the rehabilitation program for the severely disabled, but is needed wherever and whenever return of function is required. Unfortunately, too often, proper exercise is not given the full attention and importance in the treatment and recovery of disease that it deserves. Perhaps in an era of so-called wonder drugs, spectacular heart transplants, and cobalt treatments, a simple, old-fashioned remedy, such as exercise, is not technological or expensive enough to drum up much enthusiasm among the pharmaceutical houses. Exercise, however, when properly performed and progressively done, should have no harmful side effects as many drugs do. Furthermore, it's normal, it's natural, and it's free. This can be said of very few other forms of therapy. Needless to say, all exercise should be correlated with the advice and recommendation of your doctor. I would like to say that most people don't exercise properly. They exercise their peripheral muscles, the arms and the legs, but they neglect the most important muscles, which are those beneath your umbilicus, which control the elimination and digestion and your reproductive organs, and the back, the spine, and your thorax. Those are the most important areas that need to be exercised. For instance, abdominal exercises. I have a number of abdominal exercises. As I say, we're all sold out at the time being. The new book is called Miracle Exercise. It's going to be twice as large as the other book, and it's coming out around the first of the year. And I have a whole section on various... In fact, I can't think of a single disease that can't be not only treated but prevented through proper exercise. Even colorectal cancer now has been found to be helped through proper exercise. We have a number of exercises for the abdomen. Incidentally, to try to get that fat off the sides, I often advise a rolling pin, the type that rolls with the handles not rolling. And you can roll off some of that extra weight. wherever, if you look in a mirror at yourself naked, and wherever you see extra fat, that part needs exercise. Arthritis. Arthritis is a disease that definitely responds to exercise, because exercise stimulates your adrenal glands. And your adrenal glands produce cortisone, not the cortisone that you buy in a drugstore that comes from a pig, but the natural cortisone. Incidentally, I just wanted to inject, everybody has their own concept of what causes arthritis. There was a seminary class and who was graduating, and the bishop was talking to them, and they had a question and answer period, and one of the seminary students asked the bishop, "What causes arthritis, Father?" He said, "What causes arthritis?" He says, "I'll tell you what causes arthritis." He says, "Running around late at night, turning the night into day, running around with women, fornication." He says, "That's what causes arthritis." He says, "Why do you ask, son?" He says, "Well, Father, I just read the Pope has arthritis." most arthritic exercises respond to, I recommend underwater exercises for arthritic conditions, because the water gives a certain amount of resistance as well as buoyancy. And also isotonic and isometric exercise, especially for osteoarthritis, because you're not wearing out the bone when you're doing isometric exercise. That is, where there's no movement except you're pulling and stretching the bones. And my system of exercise is not strenuous. I don't believe in strenuous exercises. In fact, regular household duties such as sewing and fine finger exercises. And I also recommend getting one of these register devices that you pull, for instance, for people that have their finger joints are affected. Whatever particular joints are affected, I believe those are the parts that need the exercise. But you don't want to exercise when you have an arthritic flare. In other words, during the flare, you have to rest that part. But after the flare has disappeared, pain is never 100% of the time. When there's no pain, that's when you start to exercise that part. Now, for instance, asthma. Asthma is another. I have about 50 different diseases, and I have specific exercises for each particular disease. Now, for instance, asthma, there's two types of asthma. There's the extrinsic and the allergic type of asthma. The intrinsic is identified by the symptoms. The extrinsic is allergic asthma. And especially in asthma, you don't want to do too strenuous the exercise to that it should tire the person out. In fact, the American Academy of Allergy recommends 1 or 2 minutes to open up constricted lungs in asthma cases. The U.S. Olympic swim team, there's three particular asthmatics, Andy Cohn, who broke 5 world records, Evelyn Ashford, who won the 100-meter run, and Frank Shorter, who won the marathon gold in 1972. All of them had asthma. The fish posture in yoga is a very good exercise for asthma, and deep breathing through the nose, especially through the nose, because the nose, an asthmatic shouldn't try to breathe through the mouth. He should always try to breathe through his nose, because the nose filters the air. And one of the worst things for asthmatics is cold, dry air. That usually can bring on an asthma attack. Deep breathing through the nose and relaxation and isometric exercises. Not recommended are endurance sports, tobacco smoke. For instance, if you have asthma, I think you should take your carpets off the floor and use wood floors. Throw your carpets away, give them away, and your drapes as well, because these are harbingers of dust, and dust is like a poison to asthmatics. Aspirin, which many asthmatics take, can trigger an asthma attack. There was a whole article in the New England Journal of Medicine how aspirin can trigger an asthmatic attack. Back trouble. I've had a patient who had a herniated disc, and he did these exercises. I have 16 exercises for the back. And he did these exercises regularly, and the muscles became so strong that they held a herniated disc in place until it was able to heal. Almost 80% of all back trouble is due to lack of exercise, or the muscles are not strong enough. Sleeping on the floor is a good thing for people with back trouble. They should sleep on a very hard mattress. If they don't want to sleep on the floor, get a very hard mattress or put a board under the mattress to make sure. And hanging. I always start the exercise program by hanging on a chinning bar or hanging over a door. Open the door, throw a Turkish towel over it, and hang from the door for about 1 or 2 minutes, or as long as you can, to start the exercise program so as to straighten your spine. Incidentally, any person like asthmatics or people with emphysema, they always have, one of the things I've always noticed is they have a posture problem. That's why I give posture exercises. And posture exercises are also important in back conditions. Crawling, you know, getting on, we were intended to crawl, really. Nature, that's why we have so much back trouble, because we're putting an unnatural strain. But walking around like this, walking around on all fours. I had as a patient one of the richest men in the United States. And every morning, he used to walk. I taught him. He had prostate trouble and back trouble. And I used to teach him how to walk around every morning. And he recovered so well that he still does it. He's about 84 years old now. And he has his employees following him. They walk around the office on all fours for about 15 minutes every morning. Just how much tension your back has been enduring until you'll never know until you experience the relaxation induced by these exercises. Another thing, you should learn the correct method of lifting. Most people don't lift correctly, and that's why they run into trouble. You should always bend with your knees and keep your back straight. That's the problem. People, I notice when they have a spare tire, when they try to fix it themselves, they try to lift the tire, go bend over and lift it up like that. Right away, they have back trouble, especially if they don't have a well-exercised back. Most back trouble is not from all of a sudden lifting a heavy load, but it's from the guy that's a weightlifter. His experience has good muscles. And so the cause of back problem is not lifting a heavy weight, but not knowing how to lift the load and not developing your back muscles. Every muscle in your body needs exercise. Another one I have is lying on your back and raising your knee up to your chest and pulling it in further. Lying down flat, when you're laying in bed, pull one knee up, then put your arms around, pull it up to your chest, and hold it there, then relax it. Then do the other knee, and then do both knees, and pull them into your chest. That's also a good posture straightening exercise. The breasts. More women spend millions of dollars every year on mastopexy. That's surgery to lift their sagging breasts. The pectoralis major can be located, as well as the pectoralis minor and the ligaments of Cooper. Those are the three muscles and ligaments that are involved in stopping your breast from sagging. and you can exercise these muscles as well as feel them, is by taking one of your hands and putting it on your hip. You can stand, everybody stand up. I'll show you how to do this. This is not only to locate the muscle, but it's also to exercise it. Take your right hand and press on your hip. And with your left hand, put your hand just below, slightly above and behind your breast. And as you push in, you should be able to feel that muscle. You feel it? And then do it with the opposite hand. Press on your hip and feel that muscle. You're exercising it. At the same time, you're locating it. You can isolate it. Okay, you can all sit down again. For those women who've undergone a radical or modified radical mastectomy, unfortunately, the most common postoperative undesirable effect is lymphedema. Lymphedema is an edema due to obstruction of lymphatics, causing swelling of your arm and upper body, occurring in over a third of women having had the operation. Exercise of your arm and shoulder is the best way to prevent and keep it under control after it occurs. Just the exercise I just got finished demonstrating. A frozen shoulder with pain whenever it is moved can also be a problem of post-operative and if exercise is neglected. If those women that have had a mastectomy, you should definitely do the exercises that I have as a program. Constipation. Has any of you ever attended any of my, or have any of my books? How many of have any of my books? Well, constipation, I used to demonstrate. I don't want to take my shirt and everything off, but I'm going to show you how to do the exercise. This is one of the most important exercises you can do. Everybody stand up, but I'll show you how to do this exercise.
Aren't you wired?
Now, you bend your knees, and just like I have them now, and take your palms of your hand and place them with the fingers placing inward. Now, breathe out, but hard. Let out all the air. Now, pull up on your abdomen. Don't get up. Don't stay down there. Let out the air again. And hold, don't breathe in. Now hold it, and with your other hand, I want you to feel, touch the part below your umbilicus there, and feel it going up. Feel that going up? Does everybody feel it? You should feel it going up, unless you had a big breakfast this morning. Actually, you should do this exercise before breakfast. But some people can even do it after breakfast. But this exercise, you can actually feel these muscles pulling up on your abdomen, on your lower abdomen. And after you do that, after you've learned to train your muscles, you learn to control your muscles. These are the muscles that control your lower intestines. And if you do this exercise properly, after a while, you can actually simulate the peristaltic action. And if you have constipation, or if you have any problems with the lower intestines, colitis, this exercise is mandatory. I can almost, such a thing is almost an immediate cure to these diseases, just through learning how to learn to control the musculature there. So you have a tube that starts in your esophagus, and it goes all the way down your body and ends in the rectum. And whenever you eat something, you start the peristaltic action. That's why you should have a bowel movement every time you eat, because the peristaltic action starts in the esophagus and it continues all the way down the digestive tube through the small intestines, and it finally comes to the large intestines and then pushes whatever there is out. If you're eating natural food, vegetarian food predominantly, you are exercising your intestines. You're using those so-called involuntary muscles. But you can also simulate this movement through this exercise and a number of the other exercises. I have a book called Superpotency at Any Age, which has these exercises in it, as well as a number of others. It was intended mainly to improve the potency of men as they get older. And I even have a lot of younger men who have that problem, and premature ejaculation and so forth. But it's also very beneficial to overcome constipation and all the related diseases. The hemorrhoids, varicose veins. Hemorrhoids are just varicose veins of your rectum. And constipation aggravates it because the colon swells up and it prevents the blocking of returned blood to your heart. And exercise is very important in varicose veins to correct it and prevent it, because we're standing upright, and standing in one position, like waiting on line, or people that have jobs that require them to stand in one position for long periods of time, develop varicose veins because the muscles, the gravity is constantly pushing down, and the heart is not strong enough to push up the blood unaided. It needs the flexing action of your legs in order to push the returned blood up to your heart. Constipation is an effect, and so it's not really the cause. The cause is wrong eating, not enough fiber. Now, fiber is only found in all in vegetables. It's not found. Milk has no fiber. Meat has no fiber. Fish has no fiber. Eggs have no fiber. Dairy products have no fiber. So you're not getting any fiber from any of those foods, because our bodies are constructed as a vegetarian. We're really supposed to be, nature intended us to be vegetarians. You look at our teeth, they're flat. Our nails are flat. We have long convoluting intestines. You give a baby a bird and they'll play with it and fondle it. You give a bird to a cat or a kitten, he'll pounce on it and try to kill it, because that's his nature. Our nature is to be vegetarians. Diabetes mellitus. Exercise is especially beneficial for diabetics. Every part of the treatment. Unfortunately, most physicians that are specializing in this, they use exercise as a last resort. But exercise reduces your demand for insulin. It uses up the sugar in your body. It helps reduce the weight. And people say to me, well, I have to walk 5 miles in order to lose a pound. But figure it this way. There's 3,500 calories in a pound. Let's say you lose a pound. Let's say you walk 5 miles a day. And if you only lose 100 calories less by walking every day 5 miles, which you'll actually use up 200 or 300. But over a period of a year, you'll lose 10 to 15 pounds if you lose 300 calories a day. You lose 15 pounds a year, which is not bad. Emphysema. Emphysema, one of the things that I've noticed about all people with emphysema, again, is their poor posture. So the main things we want to do with emphysema cases is posture correcting exercises. Foot trouble. You know, you'd think that the shoes that God created our feet to be designed to the conformity of the shoes instead of the opposite way, the shoes to conform to the physiological requirements of the human foot. But no foot is made to come into a point. And almost all foot trouble is due to improperly fitting shoes. And I have a number of exercises that can correct all of these things. It can correct the fallen arches, can correct all the other foot problems. Your shoe should be wide enough that the foot can have room to move in, and it should be ventilated. Hair problems. There's exercises for the hair. You want to overcome gravity. Most exercises for the hair should be done in the inverted position to bring the blood back to the hair. And headaches also. One of the ways that you can stop a headache is taking your two fingers and putting pressure on the temporal area here. Put about 5 pounds of pressure. And then you can put pressure here if the headache is due to a frontal headache. And also in the occiput, you can take both your hands and put pressure on either side of the nape of the neck there. It's called the occiput. And putting pressure there and rubbing it. And also rotating your head around to a 360-degree angle to get that blood. You have two arteries going to your brain. You have the carotid and the vertebral artery. And if either of those arteries are not delivering enough blood, if the arteries are occluded through plaque, through arteriosclerotic plaque, from eating too much animal products and getting too much cholesterol, you can have either hemiplegia or a quadriplegia. So it's important that these two arteries are free and allow the blood to circulate. And exercise can recanalize blocked arteries. This has been shown, been demonstrated that, and it can also bypass clogged arteries, the clog point. Cardiac rehabilitation. You know, most heart attacks, so-called heart attack, most heart problems are not due to the heart, it's to the arteries. And again, the exercise is one of the areas that have been most neglected in the treatment of heart cases. It's not, as I say, it's not your heart, it's the arteries. I have a book called Cleanse Your Arteries and Save Your Life. It's a little booklet here. We still have some of those. And it's been well advertised, and a lot of people, it's being resold all over the world. But most doctors, they don't like to recommend exercise too much. They'd rather give you drugs, which is very important sometimes. But most people, just taking the drugs and the health foods alone is not enough if you're going to keep eating this high cholesterol foods and not exercising enough. Prevention and correction of hernia through exercise. Very few people know that a hernia can be corrected through exercise. I have a little booklet on, in fact, in my book, Superpotency at Any Age, it gives the natural correction of hernia. A hernia is nothing more than a weakness of the muscle, the abdominal muscle. You have an abdominal corset. And ordinarily, if your muscles are well-toned, it will press on the various organs of your body, stopping them from descending from their natural position, their natural anatomical position. But when exercise is neglected, that is the right type of exercise for the abdomen. Most people don't exercise their abdominal muscles. They neglect the area below the umbilicus. And this is where all your vital organs are. And as the hernia, which is soft tissue, can go through these weakened muscles or the unnatural opening. And the way I correct that, we have a series of three exercises for that. You should get yourself a slant board, and with your head lower than your feet, keep your feet out and do a scissors kick, laying like that. And then try to raise your legs against the downward pressure. Have somebody, these are your feet, and while you're laying on the slant board, raise it about 8 inches from the board. First do the scissors exercise, and then try to raise your feet up against while somebody's pushing down on them. This strengthens this lower abdominal the lower abdominal muscles here. And I have a couple of other exercises. I don't want to go into all of that. Impotency. At the age of 50 on, over 14% of the male population is impotent. And most men begin to have problems with this that are on the conventional American diet, as well as not exercising properly. For instance, at the age of 70, over half the men already have difficulty with getting an erection. And at the age of 80, only one out of four men can still get an erection. And considering there are four women to every man at that age, that means there's 16 women at that age for every man that can still perform. I had a patient, he was just celebrated his 82nd birthday. His women calling him up from early morning to late at night. The phone never stops. They invite him to parties, and they invite him to all sorts of, they even invite him on cruises. Now, if you think he's a Clark Gable type, you're wrong. He has a big black mole on the end of his nose. He's bald.
He's telling you, he's over 80.
Oh, you're the one. And do you have false teeth? Well, his false teeth drop and click, and he gives you a shower bath when he talks. But the secret I've taught him, there's a number of secrets that I've taught him. Well, I taught him the secret of seminal conservation. You know, I was giving a lecture down in Miami recently at the microbiota conference at the Eden Rock, and the Miami Herald came over to interview me. She said, "We're very interested in seminal conservation." And she said, "Yes, we want to save the Seminole Indians." I said, My talk isn't about saving the Seminole Indians." When I explained it, she said, "Oh, I'm sorry." exercises to improve the sexual efficiency of women. Most women, after they've given birth, their perineal muscles and their vaginal muscles become weak. And most doctors routinely, and most hospitals routinely, perform an episiotomy, which is unnecessary in most cases. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is it can tear. But I use a Turkish towel when I deliver babies. And the vaginal muscles stretch. And these women don't do the exercises to bring them back, to bring their muscles back to their prepartum positions. Not only do they develop a little paunch beneath the umbilicus because of this, but they also lose the elasticity in that area. And I wanted to show you something. Yeah, can I have that blackboard?
Wait. You're tied to a microphone. We'll bring the blackboard to you.
Well, anyhow, your intestines.
This is your blind pouch, the cecum is called, and your large and small intestines empty into your cecum. They bring the undigested matter in there. And from there, you have your ascending colon. And then over here, you have your hepatic flexure. You know why it's called the hepatic flexure?
No.
Does anybody know why it's called the hepatic flexure?
Near the liver.
Because it's underneath the liver. You know where your liver is? Most people say that their liver is home in the icebox. But this is your liver, and then over here, you have your transverse colon. And then over splenic flexion. And then you have your descending colon. And then over here, of course, you have your rectum and so forth. And but most people, they don't exercise this transverse colon. And as a consequence, you have a ptosis here, or a drop, the drooping of this of your transverse colon. Now, this exercise I showed you before, I used to take off my shirt and do it, but I've had a few complaints. So, the transverse colon can even drop so much on people that have weak muscles down here, it can even touch the pelvic floor. Now, what happens? This, I don't care what kind of food you're eating. If your transverse colon is dropped, the only way you can get that to come up again is by strengthening those muscles through exercise. And I have these abdominal exercises for that purpose. But what happens is that you're getting a much more acute angle up here, so that it causes the food or the final digestion here to be delayed, and gas starts to form here, and it causes a ballooning of these pockets. You have a ballooning over here of your ascending colon, and that is what causes much of your constipation. And constipation is a factor in every disease. There is no disease that isn't made worse through constipation, or more complicated through constipation. So this is another factor. It's also a factor in potency and impotency. So one of the things my book deals with on potency is how to get rid of it. There's a whole chapter on constipation.
Parkinson's disease. I don't know how many people are interested in that, but Parkinson's disease can be helped through exercise. Through, for instance, my good friend Dr. Kamenish, who heads the Parkinson Institute down in Miami, he teaches them how to dance and even play basketball. And they try to make the basket, and surprisingly, they do very well at making the baskets. The more useful. And to stop the progression of the disease. So exercise is very important in that. And rehabilitation therapy for paralysis, immobility, and neuromuscular re-education. We have a whole series of exercises for different paralytic conditions and rehabilitation in the severely disabled. Exercise is absolutely important. Prostate disease, 80% of all men are going to have some form of prostate disease. In fact, it's going to be much higher. It's going up. And in fact, prostate cancer, I believe, is now the leading cause of cancer in men above 50. And one of the factors in prostate disease, for instance, in benign prostatic hypertrophy, is lack of exercise. For instance, dogs, male dogs, get prostate trouble. Of course, women don't get prostate trouble. You know why? They don't have a prostate. But male dogs get prostate trouble, and the reason is we find that only male dogs that live in apartment houses, that don't get enough exercise, get prostate trouble. Working dogs, sheep dogs, Eskimo dogs, sled dogs, dogs that are active never get prostate trouble. But those that are sedentary do get prostate trouble. We have a number of exercises. I'm going to show you an exercise for your prostate. This is one of the best exercises for your prostate. I'm doing it right now. Yeah. Okay.
How about Simon?
Well, let me, I'll come to that. I'm showing you, I'm doing one of the best exercises for the prostate. See what I'm doing? I'm squeezing and relaxing your glute muscle. And this is also beneficial for women with uterine problems. squeezing and relaxing. You should do this 50 times in the morning and 50 times at night, and then work up to 100 times, twice a day. You can do this, Princess, while I'm talking to you, I'm exercising my prostate. While you're reading a book, while you're waiting for the bus or the subway, you can be exercising your prostate. It's a secret exercise. It's also good for those guys that are having problems getting an erection. Skin diseases. Exercise. See, most people, you read in the papers, the worst thing you can do is to perspire, according to the ads, the antiperspiration. It's a terrible sin if you perspire. You should be shot for anybody who has a nerve to perspire. But perspiration is a very important thing, not only for the homeostasis of the body, or your perspiration regulates your body temperature. And perspiration is one of the best ways of cleaning your skin. It cleans the skin, your skin, from the inside out. No cleansing cream can go that deep. And perspiration is the best cleanser for your skin. If you want to clean your skin good, exercise till you sweat, and that perspiration gets all the junk out of your skin. Don't let anybody, never use an antiperspirant, regardless of what the advertisements tell you. You have 84 muscles in your face, 84 muscles, and this is what your skin lies on. So it's very important, for instance, to exercise your face. For instance, these so-called bags under your eyes, I call them little pot bellies of the face, because they're the same thing as the pot belly down here. They're due to lack of exercise there. But whenever you get a chance, you should do the exercise, the facial exercises that I have. Facial, just like any other part of your body. I've seen thin people who have double chins because they don't exercise their chins enough. You have to exercise. Every muscle in your body requires exercise. And if you neglect any muscle, you're going to have a problem in that area. You should always, as I say before, go and look at your body in the nude in the morning when you take your clothes off. Whatever part that you see has too much fat, that part needs exercise. And varicose veins. Varicose veins are specifically due to lack of exercise. Those veins there, we were intended to walk on, as I said, on all fours. When we started to walk upright, we're putting a tremendous strain on the veins, because your blood has to pump it up unaided. Your heart has to pump that up unaided, and it's not strong enough to do that. When you're walking, you're flexing those muscles, and this also prevents phlebitis. Walking is one of the best ways to eliminate gas, by the way. If you have a gas problem, any intestinal problem, you should do these exercises. You want me to start asking questions?
I want to make an announcement before you start to take questions.
So. I've noticed many people here have a lordosis or a kyphosis, which is a spinal problem. One of the best exercises for posture exercises, I'm going to take my jacket off a moment. Taking your right hand and reach it around. Stand up, everybody. Reach your right hand around as far as you can, and with your left hand, try to grab it. Now, you might not be able to do it at first, but if you keep trying, you'll eventually start, at least try to touch it. Just keep going, and eventually, and this will, keep doing this, and then go with the other hand the opposite way. Try to shake your hand. Shake your own hand. Don't give up. Keep trying it. I gave you a number of exercises here, but you don't usually do this on the first try. If you keep trying, you'll notice that your muscles start to stretch, and eventually you'll be able to get more flexible. These exercises, I have these exercises, your back, you know, you can tell a person, they say you can tell a person's age by their spine. You should constantly exercise your spine to keep it young and flexible. If you don't exercise your spine, it tends to ankylose or become stiff. And arthritics especially should exercise, because if they don't exercise, the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments all tend to become stiff. So it's very important, especially in osteoporosis. Also, that exercise is beneficial for osteoporosis, because anytime you apply stress to any part of your body, that part is called Wolf's Law. That part becomes stronger. So even ligaments can become stronger, and bones become stronger, not just muscles. But any part that's subject to stress becomes stronger. So if you want your, for instance, these women, a doctor said, well, you can't make the ligaments of Cooper. Once the breast starts to droop, you can't make it stronger. It's not true. Ligaments can be made stronger, because the brassiere manufacturers, of course, will tell you there's nothing you can do. You need plastic surgery, or always wear a brassiere. But a brassiere actually defeats the purpose of what the natural support is. Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering if you would recommend exercises for lymphedema in the lower legs?
Each case is individual, but to prevent lymphedema, I would say exercise is beneficial. But as I say, each case is individual. These exercises should all be monitored by your doctor. Every person has a different requirement, especially, for instance, in arthritis. Some people, there's different, exercise should be tailored to the individual. You can't say that one exercise is good for everybody. Each person needs a different type of exercise for their condition. Worms? Well, worms are due to too much garbage in the intestines. I use the word garbage advisedly. And you have to get rid of the garbage. I would say you should first go on a fast, number one, until the colon is clean. Huh?
It's hypoglycemic.
Oh. Well, exercise. Exercise. The exercises. You remember that exercise that I showed you at the beginning of the lecture, where you clean, you breathe out, you put your hands on your thighs. You pull up on your intestine, and then after a while, you'll find that you'll be able to move your intestine, simulate the peristaltic action. You have to learn to re-educate those muscles that are controlling your large intestine. And that is what is going to clean out. You have to start exercising the lower part of your abdomen. Now, I notice most people here, they start to get a little bulge here beneath the umbilical cord, the umbilicus. And that indicates one thing, that they're not exercising that part. And when you do this exercise, you're breathing in, you're strengthening those muscles, and you're forcing the undigested crap out. Now, as I said, this isn't going to happen overnight. You have to work on it, and you have to also watch your diet. You have to eat less, walk a lot, exercise. Exercise is the other side of the coin. You know, at one time, I had a lot of patients who wanted to lose weight who came to me. And I had a bottle of 1,000 pills. And I give them the 1,000 pills. And they say, how many of these do I take, doctor? I said, you don't take them. You take the 1,000 pills and you throw it on the ground. And then you pick them all up, one at a time. And you do that 5 times a day, and you lose weight. You don't have to take them internally.
Okay. Let's
Can you recommend?
Okay. Yeah.
I get a lot of tightness in the shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a number of exercises. The exercises, you should have done the exercise before and you wouldn't have had the frozen shoulder. Now it's sort of like putting the cart before the horse. But while you have the condition, you're going to have to rest it. But when you don't have the pain, you're going to have to start. You know that exercise that I showed you? That's one of the exercises. There's a number of exercises. As I say, my new book will be out. It's called Miracle Exercises. It's about 300 and some odd pages, and it's fully illustrated. But the I have that book called Super Potency at Any Age, which, while it is primarily designed to make men more potent, it also has many other aspects to it. There's constipation and many other.
To verify what you're saying, I've had herniated discs, and I've almost eliminated all the problems with back exercise. Mm-hmm. Also, what's your opinion about
Everybody has a gymnasium in their building, the upstairs and the downstairs staircase. One of the best things is walking upstairs. You don't need a gym. You just walk. In fact, if you can do two steps or even three steps at a time, I do three steps at a time instead of using the elevator. The elevator, the car, and the bus. Try to walk wherever you can. Leave your car at home and learn the art of walking. Walking is an excellent exercise, and climbing stairs if you like doing it. Especially climbing, two at a time. Yes?
What do you prescribe for sinus problem?
The breathing exercises. There's a whole series of exercises for sinus. Especially when you exercise, one short exercise. I'm not talking about doing strenuous exercise. I'm talking about doing exercise for 1 minute or 2 minutes at a time, several times a day. And this has been shown. In fact, the American Academy of Allergy recommends 1 or 2 minutes to open up constricted lungs. They've actually done a number of tests on this and long-term studies to show that exercise, brief exercise, opens up the lungs. Although, as I say, I mentioned all those people that were Andy Cohn, who broke 5 world records, Evelyn Ashford, who won the 100-meter run, Frank Shorter, who won the marathon gold in 1972. All of them had asthma, but a number of them had upper respiratory infections. And the exercise, swimming especially, is very good. You eventually open it up by the posture exercises. Posture exercises, you can start with isometric exercises. Isometric, where you don't move, you just put pressure pitted against another without moving them. And of course, the diet is important. Well, an itch can be indicative of many things. It can be a number of things from an itch. I can't tell you what an itch is. It has to be examined, and you have to determine what is the cause of the itch. It can be anything from parasites to there can even be a sexually transmissible disease from an itch. It could be many things, an itch.
You mean crawling the way a baby crawls?
No.
Crawling?
getting like this. Not like a baby crawls, exactly. Although some babies crawl like that. Getting on your hands. See, your legs, your head will be lower than the rest of your body. And you're walking with the head lower, and that was the way nature really intended us to do. When man started to walk upright, that's why our back has so many problems, because there's too much strain on the unexercised back. That's why we need to exercise, especially the back muscles. And to keep your back flexible.
Yes. By the way, I took a yoga class for the back last year, and that was one of the exercises, just to get into that position and hang down.
Well, a lot of my exercises have been adopted from the yoga, except one. I've gone a lot further, but also I recommend my exercises are dynamic, whereas a real yoga, he'll sit in the corner in one position for hours. Holding one position. Mine is more motion, dynamic.
Do you have any exercise for persons with chronic fatigue?
Chronic fatigue? Right. Exercise, definitely.
Does
for fatigue.
Well,
you have to get that blood circulating and find out what the cause of the fatigue is. Maybe there can be many causes of fatigue. You know, I mean, maybe you're not eliminating right.
Yeah. Hold on. We're running too late. And I see two people added onto the line there. So we don't have any more time. You can't ask all your questions, and we've got to try to make them short and short answers by this time. They're waiting for us to have lunch at 12:30. It's going on 1 o'clock. Okay. I wanted Dr. Flato to say something to you, something I heard him say years ago. Before you leave, people are starting to leave. Will you tell them what the pastes are? The pastes.
Yeah, the pasty foods are, for instance, flour and water. That is, most bread. When they, if you look at a bread, it says enriched. First of all, never eat anything that's enriched has to first be impoverished. So, you know, normally whole wheat has 23 vitamins and minerals. And they take out all the whole 23 vitamins and minerals in the milling process, and they put back about 4 or 5 artificial vitamins and minerals, and they call this enriched. You know, it's like if I took a gun and held you up and took $23 out of your pocket and through my own generosity gave you 4 back, and I'm calling you enriched. I don't believe we should eat eggs at all. I mean, the chickens get even with us by eating their eggs, by making us impotent, and giving arteriosclerosis and cancer and so forth. Another food, I believe that the emphasis, very little meat or fish. A lot of people say, well, fish and chicken is good. Fish and chicken is not good. Most of the chickens today are raised in batteries, and fish is it has a lot of cholesterol. If you want to eat fish once in a while, all right. But some people think that fish is therapeutic even. And I have a number of different foods that I call them pasty foods. And most people live on this type of food. And the way to overcome that is through the whole foods. Ruth said, whole foods. For instance, the people now are saying, well, we should eat bran. Bran is very irritating on the human intestine. It never was intended as human food. They made a big mistake by separating the bran and the wheat from the flour. The millers like to separate it because then they can sell you two products. They sell the health food crowd the wheat germ, and then the other people, they sell them the Wonder Bread.
You know, we're so late.
Okay.
How do you feel about Tai Chi and the other Oriental exercises?
They're good, okay?
Yeah.
Who's next? Go ahead, ask your question.
Is there an exercise to reactivate the nerves of the lower bowel? I've been on a routine where I have to do coffee enemas a couple of times a day, and before that routine, you know, things were okay.
Well, enemas are all right for people that don't want to exercise. But I have, at one time, I used to believe in enemas. But now I find, I still think, you know, people that, I've used enemas. I still use them in emergencies. But I personally think that if you learn the right, if you can do the exercises, it's even preferable to the enemas.
It doesn't do the job. There are some differences between our organization and what Dr. Flato was talking about, which is the hygienist system. You know what I usually...
No, the hygienists don't do this.
Yeah, what I usually say, here's the difference. That was all right 50 and 60 years ago. It's not meeting the problems that we're running into today. But it doesn't hurt you.
No,
but
you want to use it.
We want the enemas, we want the colon cleansing, we want the people to take care of that because there are colons that are so loaded with material that nothing's going to get it out but to wash it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've used them, for instance, in an emergency. In prostate.
Edwin, I'm sorry okay. that I come along and cut you off, but the clock okay. is always...
That concludes this tape.